Click kaya959.co.za to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Next time on a business that has its opportunities and investments in multiple sectors. But the next time you buy the yellow box with blue writing from Sea Harvest and you buy a box of fish fingers or maybe another array of the products and options that they have available, bear in mind that the business is owned by Brimstone, an investment stake that they have within the biz company, and of course have seen phenomenal growth within that investment. We're joined now by the CEO of Brimstone, Mustaq Bray, to give us some insight into the numbers. Mr. Bray, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir, and thank you so much for making time.
Thanks very much for having us on here. Thanks.
I'm excited to speak to you because when I read through your results, you know, two highlights certainly come to mind. Sea Harvest as the jewel in your crown, but also reduced debt levels. Let's talk about those two particular highlights and how they've contributed to the 35% increase in your headline earnings per share.
Thankfully, Sea Harvest has turned around this year, and that's purely because of mainly because of fishing being much better. And, with fishing, we've been in the fishing industry for many years, more than 30 years now. At Brimstone via Oceana and Sea Harvest. Sure. And we know from time to time fish goes away, but we know they don't run out of the water. They do come back. You know, so it goes through cycles, and we're very happy that the current cycle is very, very good. And you can see the actual conversion of good fishing to net profit after tax is just phenomenal.
100%. That also is supported by other aspects in terms of acquisitions. But as we compare this to many of the other investment pillars that you have in your business, Sea Harvest is shooting the lights out and I guess contributing significantly to the numbers. When we look at financial services, property and healthcare, are there sweet spots here that you believe perhaps have not, value?
Yeah, we're still very happy with our investment in Oceana as well. There's also a big investment for us, also in the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. At the moment, the world oil prices, fish oil prices and fish meal prices are down. So their numbers are not as good as the previous year when Peru had no fish that they could catch. The season was closed for more than 2 years and therefore the fish oil prices and the fish meal prices were, by our term, artificially high. So that's come back to normal. So, the results are not to be as good as it was in the previous years. But, you've seen their trading updates and that type of thing. So that's there. But on the other side, on the property side as well, we invested in a company that's originated from the Western Cape, FPG Properties. Mm. It's an unlisted group. We own about 10% of it. They do mainly the convenience stores all over, mainly in the Western Cape. But they have now transgressed the borders and gone into Gauteng as well. And they've done very well for us over the last number of years. They basically do the convenience shopping centers. Yes. And it would include places like Willowbridge. It would include in Cape Town your Palmyra Center on the railway line at Newlands, at Claremont Railway Station.
Definitely.
And they've done very well,
100%. I do see that in terms of their growth and opportunity that they've been tapping into with more than 30 years of experience within the South African environment. I'm so keen, Mr. Bray, to talk about the reinsurance environment given your 18% stake in Aon Re Africa. And I think this is an interesting space that you're in because when we look at many of the insurance plays, they're benefiting from increasing premiums. Consumers and businesses are obliging and I guess understanding the risk in terms of climate and all these other concerns. But help us contextualize, the growth you're seeing within the reinsurance space, because we also understand it's been tough to raise capital in that particular market.
Yeah, but don't forget, Aon reinsurers are basically, most of the income is via fees. Yes. They don't take really that risk. They place your insurance with other insurance companies all over and other reinsurers all over the world. So most of it's a fee income that they in actual fact earn. So it's and with that as well, you've got the insurance companies who are their customers paying them the money. They've got it in their accounts for up to 15 days. So from time to time, they have enormous amounts of money sitting in their account. And then they pay it over to the actual insurance companies again. Mm-hmm. So it's a very nice model. We're very, very happy. We've been invested in Aon Re for more than 20 years. And our annual dividend now exceeds what our initial cost of the investment was.
Sure. That clearly means
that's correct. You heard me correctly.
Clearly, Mr. Bray, you and your team have been doing this for a while, so clearly you know how to find these sweet spots and gems. But it speaks to ongoing opportunity. You've got lower debt in your books right now. Are you looking at potential acquisitions, and if so, where and in which particular sector are you seeking?
Well, we've been encouraging our investee companies, including Sea Harvest, Oceana, and the like, and all FPG as well. And our little healthcare company, Obsidian, to go and do more on more acquisition. We said, we'll support you. Mm-hmm. Come on, you go do it. You've got the right teams. As an investment holding company, we don't have a big infrastructure. You know, so we encourage our investee companies to go do that. And they can rather come back to us for a rights offer of shares or whatever, so that we can support them if they need additional capital. That's really the model that we're following at the moment.
That's an interesting model. And with that, I guess I'm intrigued, you know, by where the capital will come from your balance sheet, or would you look at other opportunities to actually raise capital in the market?
Well, probably both. Well, you know, we got decent dividend income now. Our dividend income is probably in the vicinity of about 300 million rand a year. So, you know, so we got decent dividend income coming in as well into the company. So, you know, it's that, and we've got unutilized facilities as well, which we haven't utilized. But yeah, but trying to get to the right investment at the right price, especially after the advent of COVID, quite often when you look at, when you go do a due diligence and that, the sellers want to make all sorts of adjustments. I mean, calling it COVID adjustments now. COVID was for real. It affected all of us. Most of us took salary cuts just to keep going. So, I mean, to me, it's part of the norm now. It's not part of the workplace. You can't go and restate those things. The whole business world has been turned upside down since COVID. I mean, we've cut back on travel completely. Traveling to Johannesburg and that. We now do MS Teams or we do a Zoom or whatever.
And I understand that perspective, and I'm appreciative that you're sharing it, right? We, as journalists, are losing out on our in-person interaction with you and your team, but we'll make up for it, not to worry. But I think there's...
Happy to meet with you.
Definitely. We'll make it happen. I think this is such an interesting learning because, as you say, you know, the legacy of COVID still continues. In the meantime, we also have the geopolitical risks that we are facing. And coupled with that, you know, the macroeconomic shifts where interest rates in some markets have not gone down as much as what we want them to. And of course, in South Africa, that we are seeing that there's a slight easing. Does this also, I guess, shift your strategy in terms of...
It does. And, you know, sadly as well, we've seen that with a lot of small cap companies on the market, the PIC has been rebalancing their books and they're selling out of a lot of the small caps. They've done it to us. They've done it to CEO. They've done it to Oceana. They've done it to Afrimat. A whole stream of small caps. And I still believe that the small caps are adding more jobs with less capital than the big... companies are doing. So they're really doing our country a disservice.
Mr. Brian. Bye. Yeah,
you're touching on disinvesting from us.
You're touching on a point that I recall we last mentioned in our conversation, and I know you know the ethos of Brimstone is of course a black owned, black controlled investment holding company, and you're very intentional about transformation. And I'm quite keen to understand you know the divestment that you see from many of these other asset managers and big players in the industry. How do you see this impacting what is already a fragile economy in South Africa within the socioeconomic context we live in?
My gripe in actual fact is with the pension industry. I mean, we are allowed to take 40% of our pension offshore now. Yes. Our country at the moment needs that developmental capital. Mm-hmm. You know, that money that, you know, maybe we should have kept it at the 25% it was for a long time and not allowed anything further. I mean, look, that should be seed capital to get our economy going. Mm-hmm. Our unemployment rates are far too high. People complain about education, and well, that's not true. We've got so many graduates, including doctors at the moment, walking the streets, looking for jobs. Yeah. I mean, it's wrong. We spend so much money in developing the doctors, the medical people, 7, 8 years, 6 years at university, another 2 years of internship, another year of community service, and then they can't find a job in the state hospital or in the private sector. It's just not acceptable. You know, we need to have more capital available to feed and grow the local industries, the local smaller entrepreneurs as well, because they're the people that are going to create jobs. They're the people that will keep families employed. Mm-hmm. And that will give a bigger spurt. I mean, you just said ShopRite on the line now.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, they've shown us that it can work in the township. It can work in the poorer areas. But let's give those people a fair chance.
Mr. Bray, I'm hoping to come down to Cape Town to speak to you for an hour and maybe 3 hours on end, because there's a lot of lessons
that
you can
certainly
teach us.
Happy to do that.
Thank you so much for your time this evening, sir, and congratulations on your results again.
Thanks very much for having us on here. Thanks.
Thank you. Mustaq Bray is the CEO of Brimstone. If you're not familiar with them, proudly black-owned, black-managed, black-led investment holding company based within the Western Cape, and they essentially have a vast array of investment. If you consider businesses like Sea Harvest, they actually produce the likes of the Fish Fingers, the Yellow Box with the blue writing in particular, also the likes of Oceana, but also have investments in Aeon Re Insure, Re Africa. That's the business that essentially takes on the insurance insurance for the major insurance providers that you and I might interact with. MTN Zakhele Futhi, MultiChoice Phuthuma Nathi, just to name a few of the other businesses that they operate in.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.